Paludiculture, what a word. But we are becoming more familiar with it, and it's all about growing crops on undrained peatlands. And that was John and Kate O'Sullivan talking to Trasa Vretnok on their farm. Now, to join me to talk about their own experiences of diversification, we have Teresa Roach of Kylemore Abbey near Loughrea in County Galway, who makes Kylemore cheese, and a cereal diversifier. Dara McCullough is back with us again as well. And I guess to declare an interest of my own, I am a Hereford beef breeder, but I also am always exploring other ideas as well. Now, before we go any further as well, we will be talking in the future about different forms of diversification like forestry and anaerobic digestion next week. But today's conversation is about those enterprises that can be woven into the farm and provide another stream of income. Dara, you were listening to John and Kate quite keenly there. Now, if you had that soil and wanted to diversify, would you be doing aronia berries?
It sounds fascinating, and innovative ideas and innovative people like John and Kate are so invigorating and energizing to meet and to listen to, and there's a whole feel-good vibe around innovation. However, I would caution that innovation does not equal profitability, okay? So you get lots of claps in the back for being very innovative, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually making any more from your enterprise than the next fella. And I kind of feel that there's two camps here. So if you're in the camp where you have a good off-farm job, then, you know, the world is full of possibilities. The possibilities of things that you can try out on your farm are endless. But if you want to create a full-time job for yourself or somebody else on your farm from diversification, then you have to be far more selective. You need something that is scalable. And a rough rule of thumb that I use is that you need to be able to sell 100,000 euros a year of whatever you're doing in order to pay yourself or somebody else a wage.
That's a benchmark. Like, that's a definite benchmark. And we might come back to that a second. Teresa, you were a nurse working all over the world, and then you came home for 2 weeks of holiday in 2016 to the family farm in East Galway. It's a dairy farm. Your parents are still milking there as well. But why did you stay?
Thank you. You know, I just say, I suppose I had a keen interest and grew up in a dairy farm, and I travelled the world, as you said, and had always seemed to be drawn into agriculture through my nursing career. I suppose I saw an opportunity from living abroad that there was an opportunity to diversify. I had seen lots of small scale businesses with a keen interest in agritourism. And I suppose I had a keen interest in creating a product at home on our dairy farm using the raw material that we had, and to add value and to be able to show that there would be a viable income, as Dara mentioned as well, the viability of the family farm.
Did you have the 100,000 euro benchmark in your head?
Oh, I tell you, it took a long time to get there and still getting there. There's no point saying, the investment costs are huge, and you put your heart and soul into it to drive that early startup of that business. And if that thing, the income isn't there originally to start with, and to create that as farmers, I think you need to be respected that we're very innovative people, and that they are able to use many skill sets to be able to drive another alternative business on the farm.
And you both have farm shops, and there are farm shops popping up all over the country. It's really interesting in the UK. They're very popular. It's worth £1.4 billion to the economy. It employs 25,000 people, which is actually more than I think there are only 6,000 dairy farmers actually left in the UK. But, you know, you talked about investment there, Teresa. Who helps you plan that investment? Is it the agricultural services? Is it Leader? Is it your local enterprise office? Who helps you?
Originally, I started with the local enterprise office, and they have some keen kind of mentorship programs that you can do early startup, start your own business courses. Then they have some mentorship support, and then you can get into priming grants then for manufacturing. The only other option outside of that then is Leader, rural development. And there's no kind of, that is brilliant, and that's probably is the backbone of where you can diversify. And there is available funds of up to 200,000, you know, depending on each location and area, but there has to be a specific interest in that board, that leader board, for an interest in diversification. So not all regions do carry diversification as one of their opportunities, so across the country. So I think that's, and there's no pillar, you know, through pillar two in the grant system, there isn't actually anything allocated to support for diversification on any of the support systems.
And the Department of Agriculture does help to fund Acorns, which helps, but that's young female entrepreneurs. There's a lot of men listening as well on farms or rural areas who want that sort of support. Dara, do we see a lack of support out there? For example, we contacted all of the farming organisations to see what was in their pre-budget submissions for diversification. The only one that got back to us was MOCRA. That was it. Is there a lack of support, like you were touching upon there, Teresa, as well?
Well, I mean, the statistics you rolled out there a few minutes ago are kind of stunning. 25,000 people employed in farm shops in the UK.
It's a bigger population, though. It is.
Sure, but I mean, I would wager that there's probably not more than 25,000 people employed in farms in the UK, in the whole of the UK. So farms, as they become more specialised, as they scale up, they become employment poor. They, you know, their employment possibilities, there's less labour involved. So actually diversification, that's why we should be supporting it to the hilt, because it offers huge opportunities to create employment in rural areas. I take my own shop, for example. A year ago, we took the big plunge about 2 years ago and started building the shop. A year ago, it opened. I probably had the equivalent of about 4 full-time employees in the shop at that point. We've doubled that in the space of a year, and it's only gone one way. So retail is very, needs a lot of labour, and that's good, right? There's a whole load of, you could go lots of different directions. This is, there support, enough support out there? Well, farm organisations probably have a lot on their plate. It could be the preserve of another body to focus on diversification, because, you know, somebody who's an expert on, you know, being able to navigate your way through farming schemes is not necessarily going to be an expert on how to, you know, leverage digital marketing for your product.
Are we missing a trick, Teresa, do you think? Is there someone somewhere that could be putting together a cohort of people to help farmers do this? Because, Dara, you've had failures as well, but we'll talk that in a second, but, you know, could someone out there do something like this?
I think there should be an external, you know, body or board, because there is an interest there, and we have to look at the renewal, generational renewal, if we want to say, in that, in where the next generation want to be. And if it's anything from, if that 2 acres of land could be there for that son or daughter, like, without being a partnership or tax, we need a tax incentive, or we need financial support. We need support on the ground, and particularly also for women. Women are contributing massively to the agricultural industry, and also family farms. We want to keep people living in rural Ireland. We want people working in rural Ireland, and we need support. If it's either through finance access, if it's low cost loans, SCBI loans, we need accessibility to it, low interest rates, and we need that education around digitalisation as well. And I think it's just that there isn't actually a cohort of people in one area kind of focusing on it. And of course, that should be an opportunity that should be investigated.
Very quickly,
and I'll give you another example of the kind of gaps in the support. When I was trying to build the shop, I applied to local enterprise office, to Mead Leader, and to Department of Agriculture for funding. Not available. I fell through all the gaps. I was too big, too small. One scheme was finished. The other one hadn't started yet. So there isn't a coordinated approach to funding farm diversification, in my opinion.
Well, thank you both very much for that. If you're at the RDS for the horse show, Teresa's there with a stall. And of course, Dara's got his Elmgrove farm shop. But there are other farm shops out there as well. Not just these two in studio with me. But that's our lot for this week.